Invite your attention, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 would be the focus of our study, or beginning of our study this morning. Title of the message today is Thank You, Jesus. And I want to encourage us, let's get a head start on Thanksgiving. There's too many, you know, it's been one of those years. If you want to focus on the bad, there's plenty of stuff you can focus on. But I want to challenge you today, let's take a look at the good. Our God is still good. Jesus is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still on the throne. He's still coming back. He's still prepared a place for His children. And He's coming back to receive us to Himself. So you know, the eternal scheme has not changed. It's still the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the good news of Jesus Christ. So today, let's focus on being thankful. Would you stand with me? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before You today, just to praise You for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for the eternity that awaits Your children. Thank You, Jesus, for making the ultimate sacrifice and dying upon Calvary to pay for our sins. Thank You that today You are seated at the right hand, making intercession for Your children. And now, Lord, I pray that You will speak to us through Your Word today. You knowing the needs of everyone present, I pray that You will answer those needs. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, oftentimes when we're giving thanks, we tend to look at the material blessings that we have, the things we can hold in our hands, the things that we can see with our eyes, things like our homes. I'm very thankful I have a home. How about you? I have a roof over my head. I sleep in the warm bed at night. I'm thankful for all that. I have a car to drive, which gets me from point A to point B. I'm thankful for all that. I'm thankful for my wife, for my family, my children, my grandchildren. I'm thankful for my church family. And I can go on and naming things that I'm thankful for. Things that you can see. Things you can touch. Things you can feel. What about those things that you can't see? Those things that, I guess really, they're blessings in here. And it's actually hard to describe. And that's what Paul's talking about today. I want to challenge you. Let's be thankful for the non-visible or the spiritual blessings that can't be held in your hand. Those things that can only be experienced on the inside. And we start at the direction of Paul here. I'm thankful for my call. Paul said in the first verse there, verse 12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus for putting me into the ministry. Now understand, when Paul uses this word thanks, it's not thank You, Lord, for calling me to preach. It is
thank you, Lord, for calling me to preach, placing me in the ministry.
See, Paul viewed his ministry as a blessing that was beyond measure. You know, sometimes we forget to view our ministry as a blessing. We think of, oh, I've got to do that. I've got to go to church. I've got to teach that class. I've got to keep the nursery. I've got to go with the teens. I've got to do all that. But you know what? All that is a blessing. And we'll get to the reason why it's a blessing a little later on. But oh, Paul, he was not a complainer. Paul never stepped back and said, look what I gave up for the ministry. He never did that. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 3, I want to give you a kind of a background on the Apostle Paul. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 5, he said he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, meaning he was the best Israel had to offer. And he was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, very religious. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee. He was an expert in the law. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, I was blameless before the law. But what things to me were gain, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know why Paul never backed up and said, I was in the school of Pharisees. I was a heap, you know, I was the best of the best. I was on the fast track to success. Because where he was, he looked back and he said, you know, all that didn't matter anymore. It didn't count anymore. See, Paul was groomed to be one of the leaders of the Jewish religion. He would have likely been a member of the Sanhedrin. But now, if the world were to look at him and his life and look at where he was and look where he was when he wrote this, they'd say, how sad. I mean, he went from being on the road to success to being the ultimate loser. At this point in his life, he had no retirement nest egg. He had no respect of the Jewish community. And his life was very difficult, to put it mildly. 2 Corinthians 11:24 describes what his life was like. He said, from the Jews, five times I've received 40 minus 40 stripes minus one, meaning five different times the Jews whipped him. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day, and I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides these other things, what comes upon me daily, the concern for all the churches. That was Paul's life at this point. Now, how could you have all this going on in your life and say, I thank God for calling me to the ministry? That's what Paul's saying. You see, here's the key. Are you ready? Because you need to take this home with you and you need to remember it this week. All right? Verse 12. He said he was thankful because God counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. That word faithful, it's not just a religious word. It means to be trustworthy. When God looked at the Apostle Paul, God said, I can trust this guy to do what I've called him to do. I can trust this guy with my precious gospel. And Paul looked at that and all the stuff that he had given up, it didn't matter. All the hardship that he was having to endure, it did not matter. Paul said, I'm honored. I'm honored that God would say, he trusts me with his ministry. Let me ask you a question. Are you honored in what God has trusted you with? I mean, think about it. So many people don't even realize they have a ministry. You have a ministry, okay? You're here for a reason. You're not just floating through this life to get to the next. God has placed you here for a reason. And He has entrusted you with certain things in this life. Yeah? We're not all pastors. But everybody here has a ministry. There's Awana workers. How many work in Awana? Just let me hear an amen. God has entrusted you with one of the most precious resources in this church. Our children. What an awesome honor. I just heard one of them, didn't you? That's fine. I love children being in our service. If you're in the nursery, God has trusted you with our most precious resource, our babies, our teachers, in our Sunday morning Bible studies. God has trusted you to make disciples with His precious resources. Choir members, when we get back to having choir, God has entrusted you to lead in praise. God has entrusted you to let people know what an awesome God we serve. If you're on the mission committee, God has entrusted you to take care of missionaries. Building committee, take care of the facilities. Security, take care of the security of our facilities. Brother Doug, I'm not on any of those stuff. Well, back up, maybe you should get on some of that stuff, right? But maybe you're a mother. You have a ministry to bring up your children in the Lord. As a dad, you have a ministry to bring up your children in the Lord. As grandparents, we have a ministry to influence our grandchildren in the Lord. And you have been honored and entrusted by God Himself with the ministry that you have. And today I want to challenge you. Don't focus upon everything that's wrong. And don't focus on what you've given up and what could have been and what might have been. I want you to focus on the honor that God has bestowed upon you by placing you where you are today. Can you be thankful for just being in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? Second thing I want you to be thankful for. To be thankful for your conversion. How God changed your life. Paul said, even though Paul had a past, God still used him. Isn't that cool? That God does not ask for a resume to use people. You know, if you apply for a job, they want a resume. That's what you've done in the past. Well, Paul's past was not a nice past. Paul said in the text, he said, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. In our, you know, if I put that in our language, it goes something like this. Paul insulted God by his speech. He insulted God's people by his persecution and insulted society by his behavior. He was not a nice guy. He was not the guy that if you were looking for a new pastor, you would say, that's the guy we want. Not Paul. He was a nasty man. There was nothing about him that would have attracted anyone to give him a chance. But in verse 15 it says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said, my past doesn't matter. Because Jesus came to save the worst of the worst. You see, God saw Paul not for what he was, but for what he could be. As you sit here today, I thank God that He doesn't see us, that He didn't give us up on us a long time ago and say, well, that Doug Hambrick, he's just a lost cause. You know, we look at where we are today, and sometimes we forget where we've come from. Today, I want to challenge you to thank God for where you've come from. Sometimes we even get to thinking a little bit too much about ourselves and we think, boy, the church is blessed to have me as a member. I mean, we'd never say that, right? But, you know, kind of down here in the back of our mind it occurs. No, not really. You're blessed that God picked you up out of where you were and placed you where you are now. Oh, as I thought about this and I thought about what Paul said about him being the chiefest of sinners, I was reminded how that God is in the life-changing business. I was reminded of my past. We all have one, even preachers, right? I think about what I was. I was saved at 8 years old. I know I was saved. I called upon Jesus Christ and I know I was saved. But guess what? I was very immature, not only physically, but spiritually. I went through those teenage years and God, and listen, I'm sorry to confess that God was not the central theme of my life as a teenager. The more I grew up, the more I grew, the more I thought I didn't want to go to church. I thank God that He gave me parents that wasn't an option. I exercised, my opinion a time or two. I don't want to go. And it didn't take me long to realize that was going nowhere fast. I look when I first got married, and I'm sorry to say I wasn't the God-loving husband that I should have been. When my children came along, I was not the godly father that I should have been. As a matter of fact, when God called me to the ministry, I didn't want to serve. Did not, was not, you could not make me. Yet, in spite of all that, and I'm not going to give you details of my past, okay? I'm going to keep that to myself. But in spite of what I was, God called me to the ministry. Not based on what I was, but what I could be. And today as I stand before you, I stand before you amazed at the grace of God and thankful because had God not taken me from where I was then to where I am now, there's no telling where I would be today. You see, we all have a past. But yet, in spite of that past, God still says, I can use you. So never think that you're too bad and your past is too corrupt. No. Instead of thinking about what you've messed up, think about what God can fix up. You see, because God took me from what I was and placed me in the ministry. Through the years, I've been blessed to see a lot of people saved. You know, I hesitate to say I've led a lot of people to the Lord because basically when God gets a hold of them, all you got to do is say, call on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you know? So there wasn't much leading on my part, but I was there when they did, and what a glorious encouragement that is to a minister. I've been blessed to see children grow up in the Lord and get married through the years and serve the Lord. I've been blessed to see people disciple. And had it not been for God, I shudder to think where I would be. So yes, I do praise God that He took an old lost sinner like me. And today, I'm not perfect. But I'm a child of the living God, and I know when this life is over, I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. That's the God that we serve. And I know that you can say the same. Or for most of you, you can say the same. Be thankful for where God has brought you to this point. Third thing I want you to challenge you to be thankful for. Be thankful for your commission.
Verse 16, Paul says, "For this reason I obtained mercy." And I want to stop right there. And I want to call your attention to that. Paul says, there's a reason God showed me the mercy. So as you consider where you were and where God has placed you, you know, you have to understand that there's a reason God has placed you where you are. And it's not so you could just look pretty. Right? Look. It said, For this reason I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him. God has shown you mercy so that others can look at you and say, if God can do that in him, God can do that in me. That's what Paul's saying here. Paul knew that people could look at his life and the change in his life and know that God could bring the same kind of change in them. Because of Paul, other lives were changed. That's why he was here. Because of Paul, a young man named Timothy surrendered to the ministry and was saved, and then surrendered to the ministry. Because of Paul, the Philippian jailer and his family were saved. Because of Paul, churches were established throughout the land. Because of Paul, many came to salvation. Because of Paul, we have most of the New Testament so that we can use as a guideline today. You see the influence he had? Paul didn't just show mercy to, or God didn't just show mercy to Paul, so Paul would have mercy. He showed mercy to Paul so others could see the awesome work of God. Listen, I want to tell you why you're here, and I run into this quite often. People say, "Brother Doug, I know God has a special place for me. I just don't know what that is." Let me tell you. Are you ready to hear what it is? Let me remove all doubt for you this morning. Let me give you direction. Right? God has placed you here to change the lives of other people. That's it. He has shown you mercy so that people can look at you and see the mercy of God and want what you have. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like seeing others come to know the God that you know. If you're a teacher of a children's class, there's nothing like seeing kids run into your classroom excited to see you, is there? Isn't that an awesome blessing? Where they're, you know, they leave mom and dad behind because they're ready to see you and let you teach them the Word of God. Look at the adults who've grown up to serve the Lord that you had an influence in their lives. Look at the church, this church, that is prospering because of your ministry, or the ministry that God's working through you. See, today, it's a very simple message. And that message is, be thankful for the things that you cannot see. God has placed you here to make a difference. And there will be times as you try to make a difference, you're going to say, is it worth it? Listen, I didn't sign up for this abuse. You ever said that? If you've been in ministry very long, you probably have. I didn't sign up for this. Well, trust me, you get over that. Hang in there. It'll pass. Today, I want to challenge you to have a renewed zeal for your ministry. Count it an honor that God has placed you in the ministry. Because there will be those special times when you back up and you say, yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it. You know when it's worth it for me? It's worth it for me when somebody walks down that aisle and calls upon Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Boy, that'll go a long way for picking up a preacher.
It's worth it to me when the children come in on Sunday morning and give Brother Doug a big hug. There's been a time or two I've just had to kind of go stand in the corner for a minute to wipe the tears out of my eye. Because it just does something to me that they're glad to see the pastor. It's worth it when you see a life that was torn apart by Satan. And you're able to inject an influence in that life and watch God make that life flourish. You know, I've done a lot of marriage counseling. And you know, there have been times I thought, why'd I even try? But then there are times when people realize, hey, this old preacher's been married 30 years. Maybe he does know something. And they start applying the things that we give them, and lo and behold, God puts that marriage back together, and this old preacher just backs up and says, yes, thank you, Jesus, for letting me be a part of that. You see, I want to remind you today that there are successes in ministry. Yes, I know sometimes you get tired of serving. Sometimes you're not appreciated as you should be. And sometimes it's just hard. But I can say with all confidence that yes, indeed it is worth it. You hang in there. And just the right time, God will put that encouragement in your path. You see, so often we get the attitude of the attitude of 2020. How are you today? Well, I don't know. The world's covered with plague. The government's out of control. What else do you want to know? There's still a God. God's still in the life-changing business. And God's still using you to change lives of other people. Don't forget that. Today I want to challenge you to be appreciative of the God who has enabled you and empowered you to serve. Today I want to challenge you to give thanks to the God who has changed your life. You can't hold it in your hand. You can't spend it at Walmart. But I'll tell you what, when you lay down at night, you can lay down with a peace that passes all understanding. Give thanks to our great God. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to just tell you this. You need to be saved. Why? Because Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His life upon Calvary. He died upon a cross, nailed His hands, His feet to that cross. He wore a crown of thorns for you. He endured mocking. He endured extreme suffering. All because He loved you. So that you would not have to spend eternity in hell. You see, there's only one or two places that you can go when you die, and we're all going to die. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And the choice that you make today just may determine where you're going to spend eternity. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never called upon Jesus and given Him your life, you need to take that step today so that you can experience true thanksgiving, life-changing thanksgiving, where Jesus delivers you from your sin and gives you an eternity in heaven. If you're not saved, we're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. And I'm going to invite you to come. This invitation is not only for those who are lost. This invitation is for those who are downhearted. I know sometimes it's hard. I know it's hard to come faithfully to church Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. And you know, I know it's difficult sometimes. And let's face it, let's just be real. You know, there are messages that are preached that are just not the most gripping messages you've ever heard, right? Hang in there. Hang in there. You may be here and you're a teacher and you're thinking, I just might as well quit. No. No, be encouraged. God has got you where you are for a reason. You hang in there. God will show up at just the right time. Today, when you walk out of here, I want you to be able to say, God, thank you for placing me where I am. You may be here today, and God's calling you to preach. Boy, let me save you some time. You've been running, you've been fighting, you've been, I don't think that's for me. Let me save you some time, okay? God knows where you're running before you run there, and He knows how to get you before you get there, right? The only way you're going to have peace is to say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Wherever you lead, I'll go. Today's the day to give your life to Christ in whatever call He makes upon your life. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for the opportunity to just stop and to thank You, Lord, for the things You can't see. For the peace that You've given Your saints. For the opportunity to serve in Your kingdom that You've given Your children. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence when it's hard. And we thank You for the reminder that yes, indeed, Lord, it is truly worth it. And now we pray that in this invitation, Lord, Your will be done. If there are those that need to make a move, whether it be for salvation, rededication, encouragement, whatever the spiritual need is today, Father, put it in our hearts to use this altar and surrender our all to You. In Jesus' name, amen.